This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to you on this rather chilly Lord's Day as we gather in His house to hear again the Lord's Word, to receive together again His Holy Supper. No special announcements about the service, so we begin with the opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 147, just a couple of pages previous to page 151. And today we chant Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11, responsively by whole verse. I will chant the odd-numbered verses. The congregation chants the even-numbered.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that, relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is recorded in the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The epistle is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9. I read again the end of verse 16 and all of verse 17. St. Paul writes, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship." Dear Christians, stewardship. You know, sometimes we think that word only gets tossed around and used by synodical bureaucrats, church councils, congregational boards, and money-hungry pastors. But the Apostle Paul uses that word. St. Paul uses the word stewardship in his first letter to the Corinthians. You've heard it twice so far today. But when Paul uses that word, he uses it in a different way than we normally use it. When we talk about stewardship, we talk about the things that God has entrusted to us to manage for him. They're not really ours. They've been given to us, entrusted to us to use. We talk about all that the Lord has freely given to us and how we can use it to work for his purposes, his glory, and our neighbor's good. And when we talk about the things that God has given us and entrusted to us, we usually talk about things like our time and our talents and, of course, our money. But listen to what St. Paul talks about when he talks about stewardship. "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship." Interesting words from the mouth of Paul. The stewardship Paul was given was a stewardship of the gospel. God was called, or Paul was called by God, to be a steward of the gospel. God entrusted Paul with the good news of Jesus and the salvation that he accomplished for you and me and for all on the cross and at the empty tomb. And Paul says that same kind of thing in his letter to the Colossians. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for the sake of Christ's body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known." Paul did not choose to preach the gospel. Paul was called by God to preach the gospel. Paul did not do that of his own will. It was God's will that Paul should be a preacher of the gospel, an eyewitness, and a mouthpiece of the risen Lord Jesus. God entrusted Paul with the gospel and commanded him to preach it. God entrusted Paul with his word and told him to make it fully known. That's the stewardship that Paul is talking about. And that's why Paul said, "Woe. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." If he hadn't preached the gospel, he would have denied his calling as a steward of the gospel. If he hadn't preached the gospel, he would have failed in his stewardship of the gospel. He would have been guilty of resisting and interfering with God's saving will and purpose, and he would have deserved God's righteous anger and wrath instead of his reward. Jesus says in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" When Paul preached the gospel, he was simply doing his duty. He was doing what God had called and commanded him to do. He was living out this stewardship of the gospel that God had entrusted to him. What Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, I think, is very helpful to us as a congregation. Maybe instead of only talking about time and talents and money when it comes to stewardship, maybe we should talk about what Paul talks about, the gospel. Maybe when it comes to stewardship, the question isn't just how should I use my time, or how should I use my talents, or how should I use my money. No, the question is, how can I use my time in service to the gospel? How can I use my talents to make the gospel heard? How can I use my money to see that the good news of Jesus gets into as many ears and as many hearts of as many sinners as possible? When you get right down to it, the stewardship of our time and our talents and our money is really all about our stewardship of the gospel. As a Christian congregation, and that's what we are, a Christian congregation, a body of believers and disciples of Jesus. As a Christian congregation, Jesus has given to us a stewardship of the gospel. The same gospel he preached in Galilee, the same gospel that Paul preached. He has entrusted us with the good news of his sinner-saving death and his death-defeating resurrection. He has gifted us with his holy word and sacraments. And through those things, he forgives our sins and fills us with new and everlasting life. And through them, he seeks to forgive the sins of others and to fill them with new and everlasting life too. And you say to yourself, when did that happen? I mean, when did Jesus give to us a stewardship of the gospel? Well, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. When he said to his disciples, to his church, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and by teaching them. When he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Woe to our congregation if we do not preach the gospel and teach the Lord's word. Woe to our congregation if we do not baptize sinners in the name of the triune God. Woe to our congregation if we do not celebrate the Lord's Supper and eat and drink the very body and blood that Jesus gave and poured out for us on the cross. Woe to us if we do not remember his redeeming work for us and for every sinner. These things were not optional or negotiable for St. Paul. And these things are not optional or negotiable for us as a Christian congregation. We can never just become another social organization or simply a human care organization or those who strive for social justice. We've been given a stewardship of the gospel. Jesus has commanded his church to preach the gospel, to teach the word, to administer the sacraments. This is the Lord's will for his church, and therefore, it is the duty and our calling as a Christian congregation. We have been entrusted with a stewardship, and a very specific stewardship, a stewardship of the gospel. And as God's people, as members of our congregation, we live out that stewardship of the gospel in our daily callings. As St. Paul says, we're all members of Christ's body, but not every member has the same function. I have been ordained and called as pastor to publicly preach the gospel and to administer the sacraments here at Trinity. That's how I live out this stewardship of the gospel that we have been given. Some of the members of our congregation are called to be Lutheran day school teachers. They teach the word of God to the children of our congregation and community. And if their students are unbaptized, they gently lead them towards the font and the life-giving waters of holy baptism. That's how they live out this stewardship of the gospel that we have been given. Some of our members are called to be Christian parents and are commanded by God to care not only for the bodies, but the souls of their children. It is Christian parents who bring their children to the font to be baptized. It is Christian parents who bring their children up in the fear and instruction of the Lord and then have the great joy of kneeling next to them at the communion rail. That's how they live out this stewardship of the gospel that we have been given. All of us have been baptized into Christ. All of us are called by God to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Today again, and every time we commune, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's how each individual member of the congregation lives out this stewardship of the gospel that we have been given. But we also live out this stewardship of the gospel by being good stewards of our time and our talents and our money, putting those things to work for the gospel. That may mean serving on the board of evangelism or the altar guild or in some other way. That may mean singing in the choir or helping to maintain the facilities of the church and school. That means supporting the preaching and teaching of the word that happens in our congregation and school with our prayers and with our offerings. I mean, it's just a simple fact that without the prayers and offerings of our members, there will be no preacher preaching the gospel from this pulpit. There will be no bread and wine on the altar for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The sanctuary will be cold and dark and in disrepair. The school will be locked up tight, no longer populated by teachers who teach the Word of God and students who gladly hear and learn it. You may not be a preacher or a teacher, but as the hymn that we just sang says, with your prayers and with your bounties, you can do what God commands. The Apostle John called those who provided material and financial support for missionaries, he called them fellow workers for the truth. Through your offerings, you are fellow workers with me, fellow workers with our teachers. Through your offerings, you take your place next to me in this pulpit. You stand alongside our teachers in our classrooms as fellow workers for the truth, as those who make that work possible, as those who move that work forward. That, too, is how we live out this stewardship of the gospel that we have been given. And this stewardship of the gospel gives purpose to our congregation. It guides our life together as God's people in this place. God help us to be good stewards of his life-giving gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried,
And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.